A couple of weeks ago, you know, I was listening to the reports of the fires out in California and what was going on there. And I, you know, I just saw God ripping off the cover to a lot of corruption and everything that's been coming out. And as I was doing that, I was reminded of a prophecy that the Lord spoke to us last year, earlier in the year. It was in May, and it had to, and I was starting to correlate. I'm looking at this thing of the fires, and then I'm looking at, the Holy Spirit is reminding me about this prophecy that he spoke, and I just want to play it. Go ahead, Stephen.
Sparks are going to fly. Sparks are going to turn into flames, says the Lord. And I am going to burn up the hypocrisy. I am going to burn up the corruption. Sparks will fly. On the day that there you see sparks, know it's coming. On the day that you see flames, know it is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. Those things, because I have already laid the groundwork, and everything you see in this nation right now is simply a reaction to what I have already done. And you are going to see the sparks fly, says the Lord. You are going to see them before men even know or be able to even backpedal. Their corruption will be revealed. The lies will be exposed. The attitudes and the thumb their nose at this nation will be exposed, says the Lord. And you will see your God, your Savior, rise up as head of the church that he has made mighty in the earth. Now's the time to strengthen yourselves, to strengthen your resolve, to strengthen your commitment, and consecrate yourself before me, says the Lord, that I may use you the way I designed you, the way I created, and for the purpose that I created you for, says the Lord. You will see the sparks fly, and you will see the sparks turn into flames, and they will eat this thing up. They will devour it. They will consume it. And your Lord will be glorified in his church. That day is here. Amen.
Amen.
The reason I say that is I want to encourage you to prophesy. I know the people, it begins with a word. When I gave that, after I gave that prophecy, I was saying, what was that about? It made zero sense to me. But, you know, that's the way faith is. You know, Jesus, you just do the first part, and then you get the second part, and you do the second part, you get the third part. You ever notice that? When he's, we need wine, fill up the water pots. Well, you don't understand. No, we need more wine. We need to fill up the water pots. Nice. The Mary knew enough to say, whatever he says, do it. So, Philip, we need to pay our taxes. They're coming down on us. Go fishing.
That's right. Yeah.
You'll find a fish, and in his money, you'll find the mouth. In his mouth, you'll find money, and go pay your taxes and mine, Jesus said. But, you know, and the leper said, heal us, heal. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Well, we can't do that. We only do that if we're healed. But as they went, as Peter went and cast his hook into the sea, as they did, as they operated, as they did what he said to do, the water turned into wine. So if you have a word, go out. And I'm encouraging you. Prophesy. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, for you all may prophesy. Let it be in order, and let it be two or three at a time or whatever. But I'm encouraging you, if you have a word, it just might be an idea up here that God gives you, or it's beating in here and you need to let it out, just do that. What Kathy said this morning about the Holy Spirit wants to express through our mouth, through our feet, through our hands, yes, But let's get our mouth moving in that direction. The rest will follow. Amen. So praise God. I want to encourage you. God is speaking to us. God is letting us know those things that are going to happen. And he's telling us why they're going to happen. And to consecrate ourselves for that. So just do that. And if you are a doer of the word, you shall be blessed. The Bible says. Amen. So be encouraged in that. Lori's words this morning. Her words are the tenderness of God just reaching out to us all the time, all the time, all the time. And it says, despise not prophesying. And don't, I felt so awkward after I gave that prophecy, because, I mean, there's so many prophets saying things nowadays, and you just can kind of whittle off, is that really, you know? But look, God knows. Micah prophesied where Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem 700 years before it happened. And if he didn't speak it, it wouldn't have happened that way. Paul was on a ship in Acts chapter 27, and he said, you know what, the angel of the Lord appeared to me. And he said, all the ship, everybody here is going to be saved, but they got to do what I say. Now, they wouldn't have been saved if he didn't speak it. You got to speak it. God doesn't do anything without the body of Christ. He just doesn't. This is why he empowers us with his power, with his mantle of authority. When he said, all power is given unto me, go with it. Amen. Go with that power. Go with that authority and do it. Speak it. Speak what I'm speaking. And don't speak stuff of your own out of your own flesh. Speak it. Speak what he says. And if you speak what he says, you'll be turned into another man. That's what Samuel told King Saul. He said, you're going to prophesy with the prophets. There's three men coming down the mountain. You'll prophesy with them and you'll be turned into another man. His ministry is waiting to be birthed, and it's waiting for your mouth to speak what he gives you to speak. So just do that. Now, onto the message, which I'm going to intertwine with everything else that's been said here too. But like Lori said, you are a new creation. Leave the old man in the grave and walk out of there. What's that song? Glorious Day. I came out of that grave. I ain't going back. Oh, Jesus is good. Let's do our weekly confession. Let's go out with that. And ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability overpowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which is him. This word is God speaking to me. Amen. The word is God. This is God. This is God speaking to you. And the thing is, it's in written form, but it was written so it could be spoken by you. And it was spoken so it could manifest by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, let's do some review from last week. We talked about Stephen, and we talked about four attributes of Stephen. Anybody, can you name, what was the first one? Well, he was a people person, right? He was among them. He was among them, and he was in fellowship with them. He knew them. They knew him. And number two is he had a good reputation. He had honest report. He had a good reputation among them. That means that they accepted him and his ministry when he was appointed to do nothing more than serve tables. They make sure that everybody got what they're supposed to get. That's what launched him. And when he did that, he didn't say, well, you know what? That's a little beneath me. I think, you know, I'm really a teacher. Give me that pulpit. I want to teach. No, serve. do what he says to do and start building a foundation for that ministry, because if you don't do what he says you're going to do, you didn't learn from Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, Daniel-san. In other words, wax his car. Wax on. And, you know, I remember when we renovated this building, and I remember John, it was John Skillman or somebody else from the city of Carpentersville. When they were here, we were dedicating it, the mayor was here, and so forth. And he said, you know, you guys really were hearing from the Lord on this. I mean, this is really good. You did a really good job. And I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? We didn't know what we're doing. You know, we were just waxing on. We're just doing what the Lord said. Wax on. And the Lord just started doing things. But we were just going along. I mean, I don't think it's a shock to you when I say that I am not a cerebral giant. Are you guys there? Oh, that was good. I got to write that one down, memorize it. That was good, Phil. A word in season is like apples of gold and frames of silver. Praise God. Well, so he was among them. He had a good reputation. He was also, what was he? Faithful. To take what God gave him. And you know what, to him, it didn't matter what it was. If God said it, man, it's the best thing I could possibly do. Hallelujah. And he had the form of a, he took on the form of a servant. Who said that this morning? Kathy, heart of a servant. Praise God. He had the heart of a servant. You know, if you want to emulate Jesus, that's exactly who he was. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he served until he gave his life. Mm. So those four things, we're going to talk about four more things, four more attributes of Stephen. As we get into this, we'll go into Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And I could go three ways here, but, you know. So I'm trying, you know, Holy Ghost, you know, so good to me. Praise God. But look, based on what we talked about last week, can you ask yourself some questions honestly and just be naked before God? Say, do I exude a personality that really welcomes friendship from people? In my conversations, do I leave those people feeling better about themselves? Or do I just spout off about everything I know or experiences that I've had with the Lord or whatever? Or do I encourage them to say, hey, you know what? You can do this too. You have this. You can do this. You are who God says you are. Amen. And encourage them with that. That's what makes a leader. And Proverbs 18:24 says this, the diligent hand will rule. Be diligent about building people up, encouraging people, empowering people, equipping people. Be diligent about, you can do this. I've got your back. You can do this. You're one of us. Welcome people. That's what fellowship, that's how it really starts. That if you, I'm sorry, but a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Isn't that what it says? Show yourself friendly. It's an instant harvest. When you sow friendship, you reap friendship. Now that friendship will grow, but at least the initial part is started. Have I shown myself dependable? Can people depend on me? That's a good one. This is the kind of reputation that you need to have. Does my character reflect a submissive heart to the Lord and to the Word? Am I putting the Word first? Am I basing my decisions, my priorities, my values on what the Word says should be my priorities, my values? Am I basing everything on that? So am I reflecting a character or of a submissive heart to the Lord? You know, people don't care how much you know about the word, how much you can spout off the word, the principles and everything. They don't care about that if you're not walking in the word, if you're not abiding in him. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, very interesting verse, says this: he that says, I abide in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, you can look at that as a challenge and say, geez, how do you do that? You know, I mean, you follow that act? Jesus? Or you can say, this is a license for me to do what he said I can do. This is a license for me to walk as he walked. And if anybody has something to shout about at it, let him shout. I don't care. I'm walking like he walked. I'm going to do what he did. He said, John chapter 14, verse 12, he that believes in me, the things that I do shall he do also, and greater things than he shall he do. We've left a lot on the table, haven't we?
Yes.
Well, get diligent. The diligent hand shall rule. The diligent hand shall rule. Praise God. He walked in the word, and that's how we established that good relationship, that good reputation with people. And he was a servant. He was a servant. So we're going to look at four more attributes here of Stephen. And we're going to look at something that is contained in the eternal covenant, the New Testament here, that is logged in here, cataloged in here for us, that shows how the devil overplays his hand and how he's a loser every single time. And it'll be good for us to take note, because these are the devices that he uses in order to get us out of our game, to get us back on the bench, to get us out of play. It's how he steals the word, how he kills people, how he kills their dreams, how he kills their hope and everything, and how he destroys, how he seeks to destroy. He comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, and to discourage those, dissuade people from believing in Jesus, believing the gospel of Christ. So turn with me to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. In Acts chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia. Oh, by the way, Asia isn't China. They're not talking about China. Asia in those days was Turkey. What we know today is Turkey. I'm not going to go there. Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then, two thens. Then they started arguing when they couldn't resist the spirit. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses. See, these are hired liars. They suborned men. Hire a liar. Sounds like a defense attorney. No, sorry. Hire a liar. That's what they did. They suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and they stirred them up. Strife, chaos, confusion, division. Stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Sounds like they were offended. And of course, the council knows everything. And they set up false witnesses. See, this is what they did with Jesus. Now, who's behind all this, orchestrating this? The devil, of course. He's the father of lies. I mean, if they're lying, false witnesses, set up men to lie about him and pay them to do it, he is the father of lies. For we have heard him say, oh, the council, verse 13, and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place, that's the temple in Jerusalem, and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all the sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Number five attribute. We went over the first four. Number five is he was a leader. We know that because that's exactly who Satan attacks. He attacks the leader. Jesus said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And if that doesn't work, he'll cause division. Divide and conquer. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. So he goes and he tries to create division, confusion, discord. He is the ultimate sower of discord. Oh, he's going to get his. He is going to get his, and when he gets his, I will not shed one tear. You look at all the misery and hurt and pain and grief and loss and betrayal that this world has faced, he's behind all of it. Stephen was a leader. Why? Because he was diligent to be among the saints in fellowship with the saints. He was diligent about his reputation and make sure that he represented Christ in an honorable way. He had honest report. He was a servant. He took on a servant's heart, just did the menial things that God gave him to do, and he did it with excellence. So in this series, we're taking a look at the scriptures that reveal how to be supernatural and receive supernatural rewards for our diligence. I'm telling you something. If you're not diligent, get diligent. Get diligent about reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. Get diligent about that. Get diligent about spending time in prayer with your Father. He's waiting for you. I mean, he's the God, he's the big cheese. I mean, he's the top of the food chain. He is the creator of everything. Everything you could possibly want, he created you. And it says he opens up his hand to satisfy the desire of all things. When your desires are his desires, I tell you what, the sky's the limit. Pui baba, poom, Abba. That's good. Thank you, Lord. You know what Abba means? Father. Means daddy. And we remember it was one guy got filled with the Holy Spirit one time. This is back in Connecticut in the charismatic movement. And for an hour and a half, he was over in a corner saying, Abba da! Abba da! Abba da! And our pastor went to, at that time, he went to this thing called the lexicon. And you look at Abba da, it means father of knowledge. Wow. And this guy just got back, and that's all he could. He was there for an hour and a half, Abba da, Abba da, Abba da. And it sounded like, but he couldn't help it. He couldn't stop saying that. I'm saying, if God gives you a word, say it. Because then you know that the knowledge that you have came from him. And the knowledge that you have of this world, forget it. Forget it. Just put it on hold and let the knowledge of God overtake and envelop that and dissolve it for you. Today we're talking about the fruit of diligence. The fruit, say that, the fruit of diligence. Your diligence weighs a lot with God. When you are diligent, you're actually sowing seeds towards the fruit of diligence. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But it's true, because everything that we do in God is sowing to the Spirit. It's sowing. And when you're diligent about it, you're going to reap the fruit of diligence. As believers, it's imperative, though, that we also become fruit inspectors. Look at yourself. Ask yourself those questions, too. Do I have a personality that welcomes friendship? Am I promoting myself or am I promoting others? Am I encouraging others or just coming off like a know-it-all or whatever? It's like, let's get with God. Just spend time with God and let him build into you those attributes that he can get behind, that he can empower, that he can honor and work wonders and miracles through you too.
Amen.
Amen. We've all got a long way to go in this, but as believers, we need to be fruit inspectors. Look at yourself objectively. Look at yourself through the lens of the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit scan you, not to condemn you. I mean, when our brother had the word, God was testing Abraham, not so that he could fail, but so that he could succeed, so that he could get that covenant in the earth that he wanted to get his people, to get his son, to get the people in line that he has called descendants of them. Before he even had them, he had a plan. Before God ever did anything in your life, he had a plan for you. He created you for that plan. You notice that? The world was created. Adam was created on the sixth day, and everything was already set up for him. When you were born again, he had everything set up for you, too. He's not behind the eight ball. He has an order in mind, and you're part of that. Not only that, but he's given you his own authority to do it. He's given you his holiness to do it. Wow! Let's look at some fruit here. Luke chapter 6, go to verse 43. For a good tree brings forth not corrupt fruit. This ought to be on the House of Representatives, this scripture ought to be on the front. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Ask yourself, what am I speaking lately? What are you speaking about yourself? Do you say, oh, I'm such a stupid idiot? You're speaking about something God is holy to God. You're speaking about you. Somebody who has totally recreated your spirit. He has given you an eternal future and everything. You're not stupid. In fact, you have an unction from the Holy One, so you know all things. You may not have been thinking very well at that time. You may have been distracted, but don't ever call yourself that. Oh, I'm so sick. My back is killing me. My knees are just filled with arthritis. You know, you're going to need to shut that off. What does the Word of God say about you? Say that. Again, I'll say it again. If you believe everything God says about himself, then you've got to believe everything he says about you. And he has a lot to say about you that has nothing to do with what you perceive. Only what is revealed to your heart. That's what matters. And that's what needs to come out of your mouth. Get that abundant in your heart. Fill up your heart with that and let that come out of your mouth. I'm not the sick. I am the healed. And I am enforcing healing in my body. I am enforcing healing in my emotions. I am enforcing healing in my mind. Amen. I'm enforcing the power of the blood of Christ to wash me and cleanse my conscience from dead works. Cleanse my memory. Wipe my memory banks free from all of that stuff so that I don't keep on going back there and back there and back there and back there. No. What Lori said today, leave that stuff alone. I'm going to say something else, but I would be Apostle Paul called it dung. And he was talking about his magnificent accomplishments when he called it dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. We need to start scrutinizing our fruit. get into a leadership mode. Because if you're born again, you are a leader. Think of this, about when Jesus said, "Wide is the gate, and many there be that go that way in the ways of death, but narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it." You are the few. Not the proud, but you are the few, the humble. You are God's army. You are a leader. Make yourself known that way. Leadership is given. It's not something you just decide you're going to be. There are too many new creations operating in this world as if they're slaves, as if they're subservient to the elements and rudiments of this world. They're not. If you operate in the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom, you're going to get kingdom results. Period. End of discussion. And if you don't see it right away, keep on going, keep on going. The rest will come. As they went, they were healed. As they went, as they did what he did to do, as they filled the water pots with water, they got the wine. And it was the best. It was the best wine. It's important that you meditate on these scriptures. Meditate on these. Cultivate these attributes in your heart. Paul said this, "Follow me as I follow Christ." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, even also as I am of Christ." He was a leader. You can't make yourself a leader. The Holy Spirit makes you the leader. That means you got to listen to him. Obey him. Follow him. Be instant and acting on the prompts and the intuitions that he gives you. Be diligent to do that. The Roman centurion. Turn with me to Matthew 8. This guy, by the way, there was a Roman centurion called Cornelius in the book of Acts, right? The first guy that got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit and baptized, the first Gentile. And Peter brought him in. I believe that this is Cornelius. Because he was the same contributing to the church and doing things. He believed in Jesus. So in Matthew 8, verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." This guy was in pain. "And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him." He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He had a revelation of authority, delegated authority, that he was under authority and he had a people under him. And Jesus said, that's faith. That's all he had. The church spends so much time putting faith up on this religious pedestal somewhere where it is totally unreachable. And Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 17 that faith is our servant. I'll get into that another time, but just take my word for it, it's there. Jesus marveled because this guy could see it through the eyes that Jesus preached faith. He preached and taught it. He said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, whatever you say will be done, whether it's moving a mountain or a tree, it doesn't matter. Whatever you say believing shall be done unto you. And he said, okay, well, that's how faith works. It's like he's putting it together and say, this is simple. I mean, I'm under authority and I have my authority under, and I say to this one, come, and he comes, and go, and go. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Amen. And Jesus was just really impressed with this guy. He said, look at this faith. This is how it works. It's a revelation of divine authority. That means that your faith cannot fail. Because it's got God behind it. And when you speak the word of God, it will come to pass. Micah proved it. Isaiah proved it. They're all proof that God's word cannot fail. It will happen sooner or later. Whether it's a prophecy about sparks and fire, you know, and feeling like an idiot after you say it. But look, God works in that stuff. Because it gets the human factor, your emotions and everything, it gets that out of play. And it puts him right where it ought to be, right on the throne. This is in my lap, I'll take it. Amen. By your own mouth. Amen. So Stephen was a leader. He was a leader. And Jesus said, he continued, Jesus said this. He said, look, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, said, them that follow, he said, I say, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know, you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you're going to sit down with them. But the children of the kingdom, he said, shall be cast into outer darkness. For, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed that self same hour. And he was healed exactly at the time Jesus said. Leaders are those who respect authority. If they don't respect authority that they're under, they're not going to have any authority for people under them to obey them. They're just simply not going to do it. You could have a renegade up there quoting scriptures and everything, and it's not doing any good because he's not submitted. Got to be willing to sacrifice your own opinions. Crucify your flesh, submit to the word of God, submit to appointed leadership, and remain open to their spiritual growth, to your own spiritual growth, with an eye toward the growth of your ministry. God's called you to ministry. I remember the story of a neighbor. Lori grew up in a house, and right down the street was this lady who used to run Bible studies. And one day nobody showed up except this one woman who was invited to be there, and she was never there before. And she had a one-on-one with this woman. She'd been through an ugly divorce. Long story short, she ended up to be, like, she got saved that day. She ended up being a chaplain to these prisons. And I heard her speak at this woman's funeral who led her to the Lord. And she said, now you're looking at the chaplain of such and such a prison, and I've just got letters from people who we ministered to, got them saved, and this one in Germany is bearing fruit, and da-da-da-da-da. One kitchen table, one woman. You've got a ministry. Reach out. Start a Bible study at home. Do something. Do something. Don't wait for something. Do something. You are. You are God's messenger, God's servant. Well, he was a leader. I guess you can get that. Number five, he was a leader. Number six, he was full of faith. How do you get faith? How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God. That's why it's important to be in fellowship. When you're speaking and hearing the word of God, there's fellowship there, and he is there. Your high priest, your intercessor, is right there in that fellowship. He says, I am there in their midst where two or three are gathered together in my name. Amen. He was full of faith. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 16. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. Strengthened with dunamis, miracle-working power. How does that happen? Does it happen just sitting there watching evangelists on TV?
No.
No. It happens when you pray in tongues. Amen. You're building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. praying tongues builds, it starts pouring in. It's activating dunamis power that's already in you. It's also acting two other supernatural, ishkus, which is a tremendous power of God, and kratos, which is another one. It starts activating things in you through praying in tongues. It's one way to do it. And fellowship, encouraging one another, hearing the word of God, hearing, it sparks things together. You start putting scriptures together and God starts revealing things to you. It's exciting. So he was a leader, he was full of faith, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That goes back to Acts chapter 6, verse 3. He said, Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So we know Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I can't tell you too much about being wisdom. What is it saying, James? The wisdom of God is easily entreated, filled with good fruits of righteousness. You can look that up. The wisdom that is from beneath is sensual, da 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 da. But the wisdom that is from God is first easily entreated. See, what happened was Stephen, when he was disputing them, and they had nothing to stand on, because the spirit by which he spoke and the words and the wisdom by which he spoke kicked the stilts out from under them one by one, and they had nothing to stand on. So they had to get liars to come in and pay them to lie to the council and get this whole thing their way. That's going on in Congress. They're lying right through their teeth about Trump because they're trying to cover their tracks and cover their corruption because it's being ripped off and God's revealing all of that stuff. Praise God. Payday's coming someday. It's here. Praise God. A lot I could say about this too. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit is the way that you conquer your flesh. Amen. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, you're a legalist because your flesh continually wants to justify itself. It's really simple. And if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be loaded with grace. Loaded with it. The grace of God. Praise God. Because nothing will satisfy your flesh. It will never be satisfied. The more it gets, the more it wants. It's a monster. And you got to corral that thing and just choke it. How do you do that? By walking in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit. So walking in his word is walking in the Spirit. Mm. And then, number 8, he was full of grace and power. Stephen, filled with grace and power, did many wonders and miracles among the people. Grace is God's divine ability, God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you know God is not afraid to lavish his riches on you? Open your ears here, guys. Oh, he couldn't do that for me. See, the devil will tell you that. That's coming from the devil. That's why he says, renew your mind and be transformed. The devil wants to put you in this place and box you in a place where God can't reach you. But God can reach you even if you make your bed in hell, the Bible says in Psalm 139. So you think that you're powerless. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. I wouldn't dare say that. You better start saying what God says about you. And if you do, you'll be happy. You'll be filled with grace and you'll be filled with power. because God will honor his word. He will not depart from it. He is his word. He cannot separate himself from his word. And when you start coming into agreement, you're exploding something in the earth that is already settled forever in heaven. And it will come down and explode in your life. Amen. And you won't be able to be stopped. And the devil will run in terror. What does it say? Submit to God. Humble yourself before God. Submit to him and the devil will flee. Flee, that means to run in terror.
Amen.
You know, and then I remember, what was his name? Lester Sumrall was in the Philippines. And they called him to kick out the demons of this girl who was in this asylum. She was bending bars and everything with supernatural strength. I mean, this demon was really strong. And Lester Sumrall, the night before, he was going to go to this place, this asylum, and cast the demon out of her. His bed started shaking, and it moved right across the room. And he got up. He said, "Devil, get out of here." He said, "Wait a second. Come back here. Put this bed back where you put it." And he did. I can tell you, Lester Sumrall's faith went pretty high after that. And he walked into that place and got her totally delivered the next day. And boom, and I could tell you, he filled up stadiums after that. Full of grace and power. So number one, he was a leader. Number two, he's filled with faith. Number three, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing, it's a person. He is God. He's the very heart and nature of everything that God is. And he gave you not only to live in you, but to be around you, to baptize you, to immerse you in who he is. Amen. And the word of God gets you there by doing the word. Eight, he's full of grace and power, God's divine ability. He has lavished upon you his riches at Christ's expense. And Jesus was glad to do it for you. Because now he's not limited to just one man in the earth. Look at the day of Pentecost. Had 3,000 of them. Do you know what the devil saw on the day of Pentecost? Well, when Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw him as he really is. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the devil saw 3,120 of those. That's who you are! That's who you are. That's what you can do. That's who you are. That's what you have. That's where you, and you are seated together with him. But you know what? A lot of people want respect, but they don't spend enough time with God to get those, allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to build those attributes in them that will command that respect. And you know what? After the devil had a time with Jesus in the wilderness, those three temptations, he left and he never went one-on-one with Jesus again. Not that we have record of in here. He always did. He incited crowds. He incited people to come against him. Tried to throw him off a cliff. Whatever. They tried to stone him. He just walked right through. They couldn't touch him until he laid his life down. And then the devil, see, the devil overplays his hand here. And then maybe I ought to quit here. You want me to go? Is that door open, Lord? Here's the thing with the devil. He is deathly afraid of one thing, the word of God. That's why he does everything he can to destroy it. It says, persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. The cares of this life, lust of other things, and deceitfulness of riches arises to steal the word, to distract you, the distractor factor. To use that to get your eyes off the other things and to say, oh, who do I think I am? No, I know who I am. I am a new creation in Christ, just like him. Adam was just like God, and I am just like the last Adam. Anything other than that is a complete lie. Start walking in that. Start walking in that. And if the devil overplays his hand, he overplays his hand. He's the one who's losing on this thing, because he overplayed his hand with Stephen, and look what happened. Saul of Tarsus came out of that.
Yes, hallelujah.
We'll get to that next time or the time after, but we've got some really good things cooking for good meals next week and the week after on this stuff. Stephen is really cool. Father, he was too cool for this world. Praise God. And he's one of those that says in Hebrews, of whom the world was not worthy. That's you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for showing us and just peeling back these things so that we can see them the way you see them, that we can see Jesus how you see him. You can see us how you see us. We can see our future the way you see it. We can see with the eyes of our understanding and know that he who called us is able to perform it, able to fulfill his word in us and through us. We thank you that we are with you, invisible, indivisible, and indestructible, because we are eternal spirits waiting to go somewhere to happen with your word and with your power, and nothing can stop us. Keep on, Holy Spirit, keep on showing us, revealing us the truth. Keep on showing us things to come. In Jesus' name, amen.